Let's now learn over here. We're on up to page 192. Okay, let's a little bit. Then I want to go do with you some three mitzvahs. This is Parsha. There are three mitzvahs that I want to discuss: Shatnez, Micah, and Zechiras Miriam. So we have to get there. Let's just discuss some of this. Let's start with Ois Zayin. On page 192, we're up to Ois Zayin. We're going to run through it very quickly just to get the basic gist of what's going on. We're not going to go over every single word because there's a lot of lumness and I don't have a grasp on all of the different details. Let's see. V'yizar Ois Zayin lichta kol ashitoisecha shavais sheloi tehei acha sarucha mechaverta. Okay, we discussed this yesterday. That all the rows have to be equal size. Do not have rows jutting out of the margin. In other words, if all of the rows are of different sizes, if each row gets larger and larger, okay, the row below is larger and the next row is even larger, it is kishera. Uvilvach lo yaseno kikuba oy kizonov oy ki igol kemashakosav, like we learned above. Kuba is an ohel. It's tsar lamala and rochav lamata. I'm not exactly sure what that means, but basically he's saying is that if the lines are not all exactly the same size, some lines are longer than others, it's okay. The mezuzah is kosher provided it does not look abnormal. What does it mean to look abnormal? It's a zonof. It gets narrower and narrower, comes to a point. Or it gets wider and wider. Or it's a circle. Some lines, there's a design. Like you see these very fancy kesubos. So some of them, they're written like a pyramid. Some are written like a circle. Some are written this way, that way. That's not l'chati. Not supposed to do that. Not supposed to do that at all when it comes to ksuba, but sometimes they do it anyway. You write a mezuzah like that, and the mezuzah's puzzle.
You say the Torah also?
Sure, Sefer Torah is even more chomer, because Sefer Torah even.
I had a Sefer Torah like that at one shul where it was. I said, well, I still remember where it was in Noah.
Yeah.
The lines were crooked and not in the margin.
So it's no good.
I know.
More than the certain rules, but basically it has to be aligned. Kimasha Kosa Vyala Aritzi Kosa Beroisha Shita, Alacharoina, below Yoiser, Kimea Shamayim Al Ha'aretz. Okay, so the word al ha'aretz, the mezuzah ends with the word kimea shemayim al ha'aretz, the al ha'aretz, and that is. I have to get a picture. We have to bring the picture.
Only two letters on that last line. Is that what you're saying? Are those two words on the last line?
Two words on the last line. Okay, v'lo yoiser. The ein yodea im zeli kuva af b'diyel. I do not know. The minig is I have to show you a picture of the last line, the last two words of the al ha'aretz. And then you have blank space. Then there is blank space from the words V'yala Oretz until the end of the line. The only line that does not come to an end is the last line of the mezuzah. The Aruch HaShulchan says, what happens if a sif makes a mistake? And he goes and he writes the last line that ends with the words V'yala Oretz. It comes to the very end of the line. Okay, so this is not correct. He does not know if this is Ma'akev. The nearer the b'diavad lo apostle, he holds that b'diavad it's not apostle, it's kosher b'diavad. That's called some mezuzah min atzad, yiyasher revach b'loy kesiva, kidei lo guloy so. Okay, now we're discussing how much blank space you should leave in the right side of the mezuzah. You should leave, there should be a blank margin along the entire right side so that you should leave over, yishayer revach, beloy kesiva kede lagul oisa beachelik achash atachrich. After you roll it, ki krichasa misayfa l'roisha, you wind it from the beginning, from the end to the beginning. V'haynu mi echad klape shma v'tzarech achelik shetigol olecha u'v'soifa menatzad v'tzarech shetigol olecha. Period. U'v'soifa menatzad ein tzarech laniach klal revach kedrakede lahakif gevil. With your right hand, make believe this is the mezuzah. So you write a mezuzah here. Shema is over here, and Echad is over here. So how do you roll up the mezuzah? you roll it from Echad toward Shema. L'may nafkinina, I'm rolling out, here is Shema, and here is Echad. When I get to the end, there should be enough blank parchment that it should roll around the entire mezuzah. So therefore, when you start writing, what? Whatever it is. You roll from... No, you don't roll top down. No. You roll... So basically, make believe the word aruch, okay, on this page, is the word shema. Make believe this the word shema. What he's basically saying is, do not start writing your mezuzah on the edge of the right side. Because, well, over here it's left, whatever, wherever, right, left, on this side. Because then, when you're going to end up rolling it from Echad all the way to Shema, you need enough blank parchment here to wrap around the entire mezuzah.
Even though the bottom part is not blank. The other lines are not blank. The other lines are to the end.
What do you mean? Shema starts the beginning of the row. Shema starts the very beginning.
No, you said you're rolling it vertical.
The whole thing.
The whole thing. Shema.
Right. Well, I mean the top.
You meant the whole thing.
I mean like this. The entire mezuzah. The entire mezuzah should be not start at the very edge of the parchment.
Right.
Because since you're going to roll it up, you have to have enough blank parchment, it's all blank, to wrap around the entire mezuzah. Okay, that's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. Now what about the end? You can go to the very, very end. You just need a teeny amount. I think at the first you just need a teeny amount to fold over before you begin to roll. So you just need a teeny amount on this end, but you need a significant amount on this end to wrap around the entire thing. So let's read that. And then what else does he say? When you write a mezuzah, you must use your right hand. If you use your left hand, if you're a righty and you write with your left hand, the mezuzah is puzzle. If you're a lefty, it's kosher, because a lefty in halacha, his left hand is considered his right hand. If you're ambidextrous, you can write equally with your right and your left hand. The Mishnah Berurah says you cannot be a sefer. Okay, there's no such thing as having two right hands. If you have two right hands, it's your skill. They're 100% equal. 100% equal in your ability, your dexterity in writing with right and left. Mishnah Berurah says you may not be a sefer, period. It's not a profession for you. What happens if you have, let's say if you do everything with your left hand, and you write with your right hand, or vice versa? Or let's say some people, they people who put on the tefillin, which hand do you put your tefillin on? This is a very, very common question. I write with my right hand, but everything else I do is with my left hand. Because when I was in Cheder, they taught me how to write. They assumed I was a writer, so they forced me to write, so I got used to it. But my power is in my left hand. So everything that I do at home, I do with the left hand. Which hand do you put tefillin on? Well, let's say it's vice versa. I write with my left hand, but everything else do with my right hand. So this is a major machlekes ha-poiskim. Rav Moshe has a shita, other poiskim. I don't know all the details. I don't remember all the details now. It's a major machlekes ha-poiskim. What you do when you put on tefillin, you put tefillin on your right hand, your left hand. Which is the ikur? Is the ikur what ikur is where you write? Some poiskim say that counts for everything. That's the only thing that makes a difference. And some poiskim say not necessarily. It's a very complex shaila. Each person has to follow a poisek, and whatever psak you follow, you stick with it for the rest of your life. Okay, you have this very important question to clarify for bar mitzvah.
Moshe asked only one of them, he said, which hand do you write with and which hand do you eat with?
Eat with, yeah.
That's what he said.
And what happens if you eat with one and you write with the other?
I didn't have my father. My father was with him because when I put on film, my father said, I'm just going to say it. Then he said, one hand do you write with, one hand do you eat with.
And that's the end. Everything else doesn't make a difference. Even though your person can feel, every person feels power in one of the hand more than the other. That's a reality. Okay, when you pick up your two hands, okay, even if you don't know what you're righty or lefty, pick up your two hands. There's a test for this. Which hand do you feel more confidence? Do you feel the stronger? Every person, I can sense right away that my left hand is my ikar,
right.
is stronger.
Yeah, you always
Righty feels righty. But for many people, doesn't necessarily mean that's the hand you're going to write with. Because if you're trained as a child, so the skill has been implanted in your brain to use a different hand. Or you've been trained to eat that way. In ancient time, that's so long ago, they forced children, even regardless of if you were righty or lefty, they would force you to use your right hand. They would tie the other hand behind your back. It was considered to be a blemish. I know even Kohanim, it was a Kohen who was a lefty, is possible to do the Avodah.
Right.
So many parents, they were really very concerned about this, and they would tie the kid's left hand behind his back.
The word sinister
and they,
means the lefty.
Sinister is a lefty?
Yeah,
they would force the children...
Sinister.
They would force their children who are lefties, who have the natural power in their left hand, to use their right hand, so that... What? The microphone is not working? Oh, I'm sorry. I took it off. I'm sorry. It's my fault. They would force their children to use their right hand, so they should not be possible avodah. I know of a story of a very prominent Rav whose child was a lefty, and he was forcing his child to use his right hand. And every time the child would pick up the spoon to eat his cereal, he picked up his left hand. So the father says, "No, I told you, don't use your left hand, use your right hand." So there's one time, again, the child took the left hand, and the father warned him, so the son took the left hand and took the cereal, threw it on his father. So the father says, "Atkan, you want to be a lefty? You can be a lefty. Don't. Today, they'll tell you it's child abuse, right? Today, we live in a new world. If you'll force your child, who is a natural lefty, to use his right hand, they'll put you in jail. I don't think you're in jail, Mamish, but they'll tell you.
Some say it used to bring stuttering.
Take down your statue.
Whatever they'll do, they'll.
That pregnancy used to be many years left of being a lefty because
frustration.
Because since the world was made for righties, lefties had more accidents.
Listen,
but this doesn't happen anymore.
The world, Rabbi Isai, the world today is made for righties. I'll give you an example: mice. A mouse or a mice, machlokes. What's the plural of a mice?
Mice.
So I'm talking about little creatures who walk on the ground are called, a mouse. A mouse. So a mouse in plural is mice. But what about the computers? So the computers, you have a mouse. What's the plural of a mouse? A mouse. Mice. Not necessarily, it's the machlekes, the geeks. check out the geek dictionary if the plural for a mouse that you use on the computer is called it's called mice or it's called mouses. What? Check it out. Google it. Not so. Maybe today they've settled it. Go back 30 years ago when it first became popular. Okay, first became popular. But okay, any event, I'll just prove the world is a righty. Well, first of all, there's no such thing as a car. In a car, the gas pedal and the brake, it's for righties. Okay, so that's the way it is. So you're forced. You're forced. Your ichor power is in. I can't even remember what goes on. So, but think about it. Your power is, if you're a lefty, you're. It's more dangerous for a lefty to drive, because since he's controlling the acceleration and the brake with the wrong foot, the foot that has less power, there's more of a risk that his reaction time. It will be less. I'm sure there must be studies.
Statistics that lefties have more accidents than...
Well, that's exactly
study it.
What it is.
That's Google it.
The life expectancy was literally years ago, not even so many things have changed. The left was 10 years less for being a lefty.
Right-hand people
doors.
Don't like that anymore.
No. Doors. Okay. But I'm sure you find the study online is drivers. It has to be that lefties are not as good. The statistics must be. I don't know. Google this. There must be studies because.
But the insurance companies never ask you, are you lefty?
Discrimination. They can't ask you that. That would be discrimination.
Discrimination.
The righties are paying. So the righties are paying
for how old you are.
The righties are paying for the handicap of the lefty. No question about it. Okay. What else? What else is mice? Okay, a mouse for a computer. So, you know, I have a standard mouse, but if you want to go buy these really expensive mice for computers, they make these unbelievable, real people who sit the whole day in front of a computer and they work very complicated work. Designers, they have these very special, very high-end mice for the computer. They're all curved for the person's hand, not for a lefty. There's no such thing as a high-end lefty mouse. Go check it out. I once, because I'm a leftist. Right. I was very, very nervous. I took a course in Safras, and I was very, very nervous that, you know, today everyone is looking to find a problem. Everyone is looking to be machmir. So if you're I'm a lefty. So there's a whole industry how to be a, if you're a lefty, the way you write is very different. You have to cut the coolness a different way, and the books that show you the strokes, they're completely different when you're a lefty, because you're writing, you're lighting with your left hand. In fact, it's easier, I think, to sum in, because when you're writing, your hand is in the way of getting with the ink, sweat ink. When you're left, you're working away from the ink, so there's less chance you get a smear. So to a certain degree, there's an advantage. But I'm not a pure lefty. I am not pure. I'm a mix.
A hybrid.
So it really bothered me. What? I do it on my right hand. I wear it on my right hand. That's no shy about. But I don't want to. I was thinking about, you know, just stop. There, you know, I'm not going to be a professional one. But I want to maybe write a mezuzah one day. And now I gave up on everything. I maybe write a Megillah, a mezuzah, whatever. In your free time, you practice, you sit around instead of surfing the web. So you write a line in the mezuzah, you know, you do something over here. But I was concerned that, being that I do certain things with my right hand, and at that point in time, I was doing a lot of programming. I was heavily steeped in programming, and I use the mouse on the left side. I was at that same time when I was doing Safras, and I was writing with my left hand. But what was I doing? I don't remember. I was the problem. Maybe it was the other way around.
No, you used the mouse
on the right side. I was using the mouse on the right side. I don't remember. So I actually asked Shaila, if your whole profession is programming, and you're using the mouse on the right side, I'm thinking, computer, where's your mouse? Where's your mouse? On the right side. Okay? Not by me. And now I put it on the left side. I have my mouse on the left side. That's why I wanted to buy. I used to do a lot of people. I wanted a nice mouse. I wanted to spend some money, good $50-$60 to go buy a real high end, custom mouse. There's all the fancy buttons and curves. You know, all these fancy things. So they don't sell it. They only sell these high end mice for the righties. So I think at that point in time, the mouse was on the right side, and I was most of the day working on computers, and I was spending some time doing Safras, and it started bothering me. Wait a minute, someone's going to come along one day and tell me that I'm not kosher to be a sofer, because the Mishnah Berurah says that if you're ambidextrous, then you're pasul. So it's only in ksiva. It's only in if you can write. But here I'm doing, my profession is using the right side, and then when I'm writing, I'm using the left side. You know, there's going to be someone that's going to make trouble for me one day. So I switched the mouse to the left side. It shouldn't be a problem. And then I subsequently asked a very chashuv Talmid Chacham if it's a problem. He told me it's not a problem. So the only problem is if you write. He told me only if you actually write with both hands, then you're a problem. He says, look, cars, everything in the world is a righty world. Cars are designed for righties. The doors are designed for righties. He probably gave me 100 examples of things that are designed for righties. It's a world that is designed for righties, but in Shulchan Aruch it says you can write l'chatchila with your left hand. A lefty, his small is yamin de alma. Oh, but the world is a righty world. In time of Chazal, it was a righty world. Probably the way you do the buttons, right? How do you do the buttons on your shirt? Left to right, right to left? Mr. Axelrod. Why is it that the world, the Goyshevelt, puts the buttons on the left over the right? It's probably because you're a righty. I think that's because it's
the
because
right.
The right.
We always give preference to the right.
Oh, so that's halacha. That's halacha. But the goyshevelt. Why is it that your shirt, your jacket, the left goes over the right?
But that's a man. The women, it goes the other way. Women jackets button the other way.
Other way.
Yeah.
Does it have to do with the dexterity that is necessary to adjust the buttons? Which, when you do a button, which hand requires more skill? Think about it.
Right.
The button? I think the button. Think about it. Here, it's open, right? I want to close my shirt.
You need a right hand.
Where do I need more skill? I need more skill holding the button or holding the shirt? I think the button. I think that I think you need more skill.
Holding the button to the shirt.
The button. So which hand on a man's shirt? It's a man's will. Forget about women for now.
They put the left over the right. If they would make it the right over the left, then the left would be.
They're forcing you to do it.
If you're starting off the world fresh, Adam Harishon, Hashem, Vayas Kosnais or Vayal Bishem. When Hashem made for Adam his shirt, did Hashem put the button On the right side is Velcro. Velcro. Where did Hashem put the button? So I'm guessing for Adam, the button was on the right side. Why? Because you need more skill on for the button than you need for your shirt. Think about it. Okay, here I want to close it. Which hand needs more skill? More dexterity? The right. So it makes more sense that it should be left over right because you need the skill in the right hand. Now by the women, I don't know why women, they reversed it. I don't know. There must be some story behind it. And Hasidim, so Hasidim, they want you always give kedima to the right. So Mela, I don't know why it has to be that the right goes over the left. Somehow that becomes kedima, or maybe that side was whatever the goyim do, you do the opposite.
That's the reason they do it.
The opposite?
The opposite?
Who goes say that?
That's the reason.
That's why
That's a shayla, right. The other way. But you told me yesterday, Mr. Axelrod told me yesterday, the reason why the Hasidim do is not because of Chukos Amin, it's because Kol Yemin, Kol Pina Shate Poine, Lo Yehe Elol Yemin. So you give Hashivas, the Yemin is the Yemin is Sarachamim, the left is the Sadin. So you put the right over the left. It's rachamim prevails over din.
Yeah, but then you got to do your left hand to button your shirt.
All right. In any event, this is a halacha of right and left when it comes to safras. Okay. So let's review some words over here. Let's start over here in the middle of the paragraph. Let's review some words. Okay. In the middle of the paragraph Zayin, page 192. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, please. Everybody's gonna have some decorum. Page 192 on middle of Zayin, middle of the chilas hamizuzah minatzad. In the beginning of the mezuzah on the side, which side? The right side, where it says the word Shema, and the entire column, the entire margin, Yishayer Revach, leave over blank space. Beloy Kisiva Kidei, so that when you roll the mezuzah from the left to the right, from Echad to Shema, you should be left with blank parchment that you can roll around the entire circumference of the mezuzah. Kidei Logul Oysa Behachelek. You can roll with the blank part that's before Shema. Achar shetichrach, after you roll from the left to the right. Why? Ki kirichasa, because the way you roll a mezuzah is misayfa liraisha, from the end to the beginning. Vahainu me echod, from echod klape Shema. Vetzorich, and therefore you need hachelek. You need to have blank space that you can roll over the entire circumference of the mezuzah. Where else do you have this? By a Sefer Torah. If you ever notice, in Bereshis, there's an enormous amount of blank parchment before you begin Bereshis. It's a lot of money. Parchment costs a lot of money. Okay, I think it costs for one piece of cloth, in the Sefer Torah, it costs $300, just the parchment alone. Okay, so when you start a Sefer Torah, you have almost a whole blank piece of nose. They roll until they get to where it says Bereishis. Why is there so much parchment? That blank parchment, you know, much worth at least $100. There's enough blank parchment in the beginning of the Sefer Torah from the place when they tie it to the Atzei Chaim until you get to Bereishis. There's blank parchment that's worth at least $100. Why waste $100? Because the same thing, you roll the Sefer Torah from the L'chatchila, from the end. Now we have to, but the halacha, you're supposed to be able to roll it from the end to the beginning, and you have to have enough blank parchment to wrap around the entire Sefer Torah. So you need to have $100 worth of blank parchment in the beginning of a Sefer Torah to go around the entire Sefer Torah. Not at the end, not. At the end, when you get the Vezoi Sabracha, if you notice, Vezoi Sabracha, they don't have so much parchment because you do not need at the end parchment because it's not the way you're supposed to really roll a Sefer Torah. We today, for practicality, we put it on two Atzei Chaim. But Me'ikar Hadin, the Sefer Torah really is rolled on one Atzei Chaim. On one Atzei Chaim, it's rolled, that's how the parchment is determined. Okay, now with Sarach, now what about the left side of the mezuzah, where it says the word Echad, the margin? Minatzad ein tzorch lanich klal revach, nothing. Rak kidei hekif gevil le oisia yisaf. Just enough parchment for the letters. Now I don't know what that means exactly. I don't. It means maybe just to get the rolling started. If you ever watch the Seif roll it, they roll it so fine. You have to know how to have skill. The first, when they take, when they roll the mezuzah, they actually bend it. They take the little piece, they bend it, and that gets them to start the rolling. So you just need a teeny amount, the first letter, what it means is that at least the first letter you're going to roll should be rolled against blank parchment. So you just need a teeny, teeny amount of blank parchment on the left side. And in fact, they do it. You go look at the parchments of the mezuzah, they make it as small as possible. Because you have to roll, you have to put it, most of the mezuzah cases today are very, very, I mean, how big can a mezuzah case be? And you have to be able to roll it very, very tightly. So they're not very generous in the mezuzah, how much space.
One letter's worth.
Teeny, teeny amount. Okay? And then he goes on to say the last part we mentioned, v'tzorach l'kasso b'yamin, you must use your right hand when you're a sefer, k'mo b'tfilin, v'dini t'yad, if you're a lefty, ha'kol k'mo b'tfilin, the lefty is a kosher sofer, he uses left hand, v'nispar b'rachayim sham v'yochol l'koysva ba'al peh, now this is a very chiddush. You can write the mezuzah by heart. You don't need to look inside. You don't need to look into a text. That's not like when it comes to tefillin, the minaksav, balpesh shaloi minaksav, kibitz like tefillin, mishun dishkunim bepeh, because it's familiar to you. When it comes to a sefer Torah, you're not allowed to. A sefer Torah, you have to go and follow a guide. You're not allowed to write anything in the sefer Torah until you first look at the chumash, at the tikkun seferim. Okay, the tikkun, you look what it says in the chumash, you look, and then you write. Asar. Because the Sefer Torah we're not so familiar with, we don't know about Peh, but Shema and the parashos of Tefillin, which are relatively short. In Shema, you have two, the same thing in Shema V'Hayim Shemaya and Kadosh Reikiv Yachdos, it's relatively short. So these things, people are enough; they're fluent enough that, according to the law, halacha, it is not necessary for you to look at the ksav before you actually put down the words. Okay, now this is very easy over here. Just going to run through. We have to have a picture to appreciate this. This thing, you have to have a picture, which we'll do this with pictures a little bit later. The Noagu La'Soysa Chaf Be'is Shitin, there is a custom, there's Minhag Yisrael, 22 lines. The mezuzah is the most standard thing there is in the world of Safra, so you have 22 lines in every mezuzah. The Elohein, the Elohein Ascholos, Hashuas, and these are the words that have to begin every single row. Shema, Hashem, Shel, Shel Echad, Yahafta, S, Shema, Yahafta, Ace Hashem, I don't know, what does it mean, Shel Acher? Havaya Shel.
Shel.
Shel Acher, whatever, these are, we have to look at the picture to see what it means.
Hashem,
Hashem, Hashem Echad, period. Right, that the top line has the whole first pasuk. The first pasuk, Shema, and then it says over here, Havaya Shel. Okay, I'm not sure. V'yahavta eis hadvarim livonecha uveshachcha bein v'haya mitzvois b'chol yoreh eisah pen mitzaveh b'chol yoreh eisah pen v'shtachavisem hashemayim v'avadikem v'samtem oisam oisam b'derech uveshorecha ashel oretz l'toytofos harishon choser. Okay, next. L'toytofos harishon choser l'toytofos hasheni molei vav lo'ois period. The first time it says the word lit toitofos, there is no vav. The second time it says lit toitofos, in the parasha of Vechoya im Shemaya, there is a vav between the two tesses. Okay, next. Nasheni mole vav, lo'ois al yodcho, af she yodcho hu loshen rabim, mikol mochim chosar yud. Anytime that something is loshen rabim, typically there is a yud. Loshen yachid is without a yud. Here is an exception. Even though it's loshen rabim, there is no yud. He's just going to the Mesorah, echad, Ha'achar echad hadelus miz yud echad fine hadel hadalid mikol makom chosar yud echad yud achar hadalid. Okay, it's missing the yud after yodecha. It's missing the yud after yodecha. There should really be another yud, but we don't have the yud after the dalid. Achar hadalus mizuzos harishon b'chadvav, mizuzos hasheni b'shnevav. The word mizuzos appears twice in the mezuzah, in the first parasha and the second parasha. The first time it has one vav, and the second time there are two vavs. Tiroishcha chosar vav. You can really have a vav between the resh and the shin. Achar haresh. Ahatoyva chosar vav. Achar ates v'chein la'avos seichem chosar vav. Achar habez v'chol zedek habola al'moshe m'sinai. Okay, so therefore, you're just telling us over here the first 20 basic rules are. There are 22 lines. Each line begins with a specific word, and we have a Mesorah as to which words are Malay and which words are Choser.
Who would want to take a chance to write it about Pe, like you said before? When you have
When you do this the whole day, you know your business. Okay, people know a lot more complicated things than this. Okay, if you're doing maybe the first couple of times, in the Hanani, you have to look inside. But after a couple of times, look, they are ciphering. When they do checking, people who have these minds, they can look at a mezuzah. You don't have to go through the mezuzah. People who do this the whole day, they check mezuzahs. They don't have to go and Shema Yisrael. They just look at the mezuzah in one shot. Okay? They just look at the mezuzah like a computer. In 1 second, puzzle, there's an extra vav here, extra yud here. When you do this the whole day, you don't have to look at the letters. The letters look at you. That's how the mind works. What?
Mezuzah.net has the nusach.
It shows you what you're saying. Exactly how it's supposed to be. Okay, with our
pivotal comment. The second line is Hashem after Bahafto S. The line ends with Bahafto S. Hashem Lokech starts.
Hashem Lokech is the next line.
Right.
Hashem Echad on this first line is Bahafto S. Yes. And then it says Hashem Elokecha. That's the second line. Okay. The Zarb Mole Vachasek, Vitulim Sevitara, Vim Mile Yachas, Vachasem Mole, Puzzle. Now, this is very important. Even though we have a general rule that when it comes to a Sefer Torah, or you're learning on Shabbos, and there's an extra Vav, or an extra Yud, or a missing Vav, missing Yud, we do not take out another Sefer Torah. By the way, that's not so simple anymore, because since we have already a Masorah today, since already there's a standard, some Paiskim say that the Zman Azef, you find in the Sefer Torah an extra Vav, extra Yud, and in Achanami, you have to stop. It's not so simple, this halacha, that we're not makbid on Mali V'chaser, but one thing is for certain. We're baki, we're experts in which words are mole v'chaser in tefillin and mezuzahs. A whole Sefer Torah, maybe we've lost the tradition, but not when it comes to tefillin and mezuzahs. Okay, well, let's maybe just one more paragraph. Maskinan b'menachos, the parasha shel mezuzah, mitzvah la'asoysan situmais. Now here we come to the very big controversy of where do you begin the second parasha? The Hoya im Shamaya. Does it begin on the beginning of a line? Does it begin in the middle of a line? Or does it begin in the middle of a line where the half of the first line is blank? So this goes back to something that we spend a lot of time on when we learn about a Sefer Torah. There are many opinions as what is called the Parsha Pesucha, what is called the Parsha Situma. A Parsha Pesucha typically, according to L'chol Hadeos, begins at the beginning of a line. You start a parasha psucha in the beginning of life. Parasha psucha, like for us, will be today equivalent in the secular world, will be like a new chapter. A parasha stuma is a new paragraph. What we call a parasha stuma, you could say in the secular world there's a new paragraph. A parasha psucha is a new chapter. So the question is, how is the proper tsura of a parasha psucha, parasha stuma? It's a major machlek. It's all of the Rishonim get involved. What is the proper way to write a psucha stuma? According to all opinions, if you start a parasha on the beginning of a line, and the line before has at least 9 blank spaces, that according to all opinions called a parasha psucha. What happens if the parasha begins at the end of the line and the previous parasha begins in the middle of the line and there's 9 blank spaces in between? That's what we call today, for practical purposes, according to most opinions, that's called the parasha stuma. So that would mean that v'hoya im shemaya, if we have a halacha l'moshe misinai, there are two parashas, shema, v'hoya im shemaya, shema is a parasha, shema starts at the beginning of the line. Because Shema is going to be a parasha psucha, right? Shema, that's the picture. Shema, you have the mezuzah there. Shema is the beginning of the line, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the Hoyim Shema starts in the middle of the line?
Indented.
It starts in a new line, but it's partially indented. So he explains why that's so. Maskin v'menachas, the parasha shel mezuzah, mitzvah la'soysan stumais. Now the Iavdinu Psucha is Shapir Dami Bidiyavet. If you write it as a psucha, Bidiyavet it's kosher. The chain cost of Rambam Perakei Ubir Hatam Lama Psucha Kshera. Why Bidiyavet is Psucha Kshera? Lefishena Smucha La Menatora. Because the parsha of the Hoya im Shemaya is not next to is not adjacent to Parsha Shema in the Torah. Parsha Shema appears where? The Shema Hu Bive Eschanan, and Parsha Eschanan, the Hoyim Shemoya in Be'ekev. Since they are separated, they're not next to each other. So therefore, that's why Bidiyevet, you don't have to make, even though, see, here's the problem. In the Torah, how does the Parsha V'Hoya Im Shemoya appear in the Torah? Stuma. Parsha V'Hoyim Shemoya follows the previous Parsha as a Parsha Stuma. So in the Torah, V'Hoyim Shemoya appears on the same line as the end of the previous Parsha, and there's a blank space in between. That's the way the Parsha V'Hoyah Im Shemoya appears in a Sefer Torah. The end, it begins at the end of a line, there's a blank space of 9 letters, and then there are a few words which finish off the end of the previous Parsha. So when you're making a mezuzah, you have to make it exactly the same. So your mezuzah, l'chatchila, that's what he's saying, should start at the end of the line, and the end of Shema should finish off in the middle of the line. But wait a minute. But that's not the way it appears in the Sefer Torah. Because in the Sefer Torah, what comes before V'Hoyim Shemaya? Not Shema. Not Shema. So that's a dilemma. Should we follow the fact that it's a Parsha Stuma? Or should we take into account the fact that if you're going to make it a Parsha Stuma, it's not going to be the way it's in the Sefer Torah because it's not following the Parsha Shema. So what's the Pshara? What's the Pshara to in order to Mekayim Divrei Shnehem? You make it a Parsha Stuma on its own line. So you start the Hoyam Shmaya on the next line, in the middle of the line, not the beginning of the line, because if it would be in the beginning of the line, that would be a Parsha Psucha. So you start in the middle of the line, but there's nothing on that line that comes before it to indicate it's Stuma, but it's not the Stuma the way it appears in the Sefer Torah. Okay, so you have an appreciation of why it's like that in the mezuzah. V'tam zeh, okay, v'hoyim shemaya, v'tam zeh hu b'gemar sham, v'hochi perusho, v'hinei, b'torah stumos hein, in the Torah, it's stumos, v'hayu sh'achar shma, l'parsha sh'acharecha hava stuma, u'parsha v'hoyim shemaya, kula stuma, it's stuma, bein la parsha sh'koidim lo, bein la parsha sh'acharecha. The whole parsha in the Torah of the Hoyam Shemaya is stuma, before and after. It's a paragraph in between the paragraph before and the paragraph afterwards. Avol b'shma ha-stuma hu rak li-achareha. Now that's why Shema starts in the beginning of the line. Because in the Sefer Torah, after the parsha of Shema, there's only a blank space of 9 letters, and then you start the next parsha, the loy lefaneha, but Shema is a parsha psucha. In the Sefer Torah, Shema begins on the beginning of a line. Ayin sham chumash, ulefi zeh, meharoy liyos gam b'mezuzah, stuma. Ach, oman, v'hoyim shemoya, eina smucha l'shema b'Torah, lefich b'diyevet, ein kepeda gam b'psucha. So he's laying out the foundation for what I already told you, and then he goes into a lot of the details to go through all the opinions, which maybe we'll do tomorrow, maybe not. But basically, what he's saying, let's review the basic yisod. We want to make the mezuzah as close as possible to the way it appears in the Sefer Torah. So Parsha Shema, how does it start in the Sefer Torah? It's a Parsha Psucha. It starts on the beginning of the line. Great! So therefore in the mezuzah, it's also going to start on the beginning of the line. How does Parsha Shema end in the Sefer Torah? It ends as a Stuma. Parsha Shema in the Sefer Torah ends in the middle of the line. There's a blank space, and then starts another Parsha. So we want to be true to the way Shema appears in the Sefer Torah. We're also going to end Shema in the middle of a line. Okay? That's why Shema begins in the beginning of a line and ends in the middle of a line. Now, V'hoya im Shemaya, how does it appear in the Sefer Torah? V'hoya im Shemaya, it begins at the end of the line and it finishes in the middle of the line. So we're going to finish it exactly the way it finishes in the Sefer Torah, in the middle of a line. But how does it start? So L'chor, you would say it's perfect. It will start at the end of the line, and it'll be blank space, and it's going to be a Stuma Keneged Shema. The only problem is, but in the Sefer Torah, Shema does not become before V'hoya im Shemaya. So in order to satisfy this, we're just going to go down to the next line. Shema will end in the middle of the line, and Vilhoyim Shema will begin in the middle of the line. Okay, we'll look at a picture of appreciation, and then over here he's going to go through the Lundis. Psuchos is Stumos, the few all different Shittas are shown, like by the case of the Sefer Torah. Well, I don't know if it's a little complex, we'll see, maybe we'll do, maybe we have to go Vaito, we'll see. We'll stop.